This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Wednesday, the 6th of December. Welcome to The Informer. I'm Daniel Roberts.
I'm Darcy Neal.
And I'm Kate Kelly. On tonight's episode, we're doing things a little bit differently. Sunday, the 3rd of December, was International Day of People with a Disability, and we wanted to talk to some people with disabilities from our own community.
When Kate, Dan and I sat down today to plan tonight's show, we brainstormed a bunch of ideas and questions to ask our guests. We realised that on this topic, we're not that informed. So we figured we're going to leave it up to our guests to do most of the talking.
So let's get straight into it. Our guests in the studio are Eamon Barbaresco and Grant John Paul Maynard. And joining us on the phone is Kirrily Hayward. Welcome all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Great to be on.
We're just getting ourselves sorted in the studio here. So Kirrily, let's start with you. Why are you part of this conversation today? And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a woman with a disability who identifies within the spectrum, lesbian and genderqueer respectively. I am also a young person living in a nursing home and have been living in aged care for roughly over 6 years due to illness now, but hopefully on the tail end of that. So, yeah, bit of intersectional experience there.
And Eamon, thank you for joining us. Let's hear from you.
So I've lived with a neurological disorder all my life. It has dealt me many ups and downs, swings and roundabouts. I've had two brain tumours and living with my third. And I have also many other ongoing complications, including scoliosis and vision issues. So living with that disability and also living an intersectional life, growing up in a regional town with a Middle Eastern father and Italian mother, I've come tonight to share my perspective.
And Grant, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My story, I was born with a rare degenerative bone condition, which has seen me spend most of my childhood on crutches or in a body cast. And my condition has meant that it's gone from visible as a child to invisible to then a visible condition where I'm now in a wheelchair, and my experiences kind of highlight how people have treated me differently and other people differently when they can see something versus when they can't see it.
Great. Well, this is the discussion we're going to be having tonight. Eamon, let's start with you. How do you see the queer community in Melbourne and how do they see you?
I see the queer community as a pretty awesome community, but when the lens is reversed, I feel that, you know, only being 147 centimetres, living with a disability, it's quite challenging because, I mean, I went out to a networking night the other night and speaking to other people who were about 6 foot, their eyes were up on their eye level, but they didn't see me. And it felt quite awkward and, you know, embarrassing because I didn't feel part of the conversation.
Grant, what about you? Do you feel part of the queer community?
Yeah, I'm definitely part of the queer community, and it's certainly been a community that's embraced me, and they've been really good, actually, in regards to asking me questions about my condition and trying to help and support me where they can. But there are a lot of challenges that still sit out there.
Kirrily, you're joining us on the phone. Would you like to explain where you're joining us on the phone from and what you spend a lot of your time working on in the community?
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Geelong. I'm originally actually from Ballarat as well. I was born in Bredon, Ballarat. So I guess that transition from Ballarat to Geelong, that was a pretty significant move for me, because back then, and we're talking, you know, circa 2005 or 2007, when I made the big move to Geelong, I saw, you know, the queer community back then. Well, quite frankly, at that point, I wasn't out, and I didn't have the courage to come out or explore that side of me. At that particular time, there was lack of support services, and basically wasn't anything heard of. But now I'm glad to see that's actually changed by a bloody country mile in Ballarat nowadays. But yeah, in Geelong, we have a fantastic community up here. Very cohesive, very strong, very determined to get things done. And yeah, I've got close ties with many of the local activists and advocates within the community. Yeah, and I think one word to sum it up is family.
Great.
Yeah.
And I guess this next question for Eamon, how do you want to be seen within both the queer community and society in general? Do you want people to acknowledge your disability or to look past it?
I'm a person just like anyone else that doesn't have a disability. So, yes, I have a disability. Yes, I may need assistance from time to time, but acknowledge me for who I am. You know, I always talk about, you know, I am not a number. You know, you go into hospitals and medical institutions and you're always, you know, number 647 or, you know, but acknowledge the person to be a person. You know, I'm Eamon Barbaresco first and foremost. You know, acknowledge me for who I am and not what I look like.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one that we like to put labels on things all the time. And quite often in discussions with friends and people in the community in general, they'll acknowledge my disability first. And disability's way down the list on who I am as a person and what's integral to me and my hopes and dreams and aspirations. They are separate from my disability. Yes, I have one, but that's not who I am.
Mm. Yeah, I seem to have a bit of a different take on it. This is just my personal take. I have always been proud of the label disabled. For me, that has been quite an enabler. And, you know, it's an identity that I've always been a bit, you know, proud in, so to speak. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as you two mentioned, you know, first and foremost, we're humans. It's how we see ourselves within that framework as well, whether we want to identify, whether we don't want to identify, whether we have pride in our label as well. And just for me, you know, disability is something I've always had pride in that label, and will proudly call myself a disabled woman. Yeah.
I guess I don't want to oversimplify things, but I'm already seeing some parallels in what it means to be gay or lesbian or trans and being disabled. I know they are, of course, extremely separate, but in that thing of I am a gay person, but I don't want that to define who I am, and I don't want that to be my defining character, but also I am proud of that. It is the way it is.
Yeah.
Is it a similar thing in that sense, in that regard? Like,
for me, I think I've got some parallels to what Kira Lee was saying. I'm now getting to the point where I'm happy to say I've got a disability. Most of my life I was told by doctors and specialists that they could cure my condition. And because of the stigma around disabilities, I would always say I had a mobility impairment. And I'd always reword it. I was almost afraid to say, hey, yeah, I've got a disability. And it's only been the last year or so where I've actually started to embrace that a lot more. And I think it's partly because of the community as well, is starting to accept it and see past what you can't do.
Eamon, what do you have to say about that?
What do you think? Oh,
sorry, Keely, we'll just let Eamon speak. We'll get back to you.
I think that's true. Like, you know, it's people are starting to, you know, I'm doing a lot more advocacy work and getting myself out there, and people are starting to acknowledge me for who I am, which is great. Now, they're going past that, you know, I've got a disability, which is nice, and they're just accepting me for who I am.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Keely?
What do you mean by that, to a certain extent?
You know, it's a height that I think it's a height that really troubles me personally. Because, you know, again, I mentioned that whole height difference is quite awkward. You know, we're all here in the studio sitting at eye level. But, you know, if, you know, you were standing up and you're tall, it's hard to see you.
Yeah.
Keely?
I was actually born with my condition. I was born with spina bifida myelomeningocele, so in summary, deformed vertebrae and exposed spinal cord. And also I'm a bilateral leg amputee, both legs. So I suppose for me growing up, especially, you know, as a kid of the late 80s, early 90s, there was real perceptions about, and negative perceptions too, about disability and people's abilities with the disability. A lot of the time, people made presumptions that, you know, people with disabilities aren't as able as, you know, the average Joe Blow. But we are capable of achieving things. We are capable of getting ourselves out there. We are capable of being successful. And like Eamon, you know, I'm also getting a lot involved in a lot of advocacy work and about to, you know, start the journey of establishing my own business as well, which that's taking shape slowly. But, you know, we all have ambitions, we all have drive, we all have... We're just human. We're just like you.
Definitely. And I'll just throw this next question to Grant. I guess, how do you feel seen in the community, and do you feel represented in the media?
In the last year, I think media has started to pay a lot more attention to... people living with a disability, and I know in the last year as well the LGBTI community as well has started to pay more attention to access and inclusion in general, and yeah, people are starting to look up, pay attention, and do their own research and reach out as well when they notice something's amiss. So, for example, at the VAC Northside Bazaar, one of the guys from VAC approached me before the event and just went, oh, how accessible is this place? And, yeah, a few years ago, I don't think that ever would have happened.
It's actually being willing to start that conversation and the realisation of, wow, I can easily get in here, but people want to be in here that actually can't. How can I make this better? And the only way to do that is to involve you guys in that conversation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you find when you have a visible disability, do you find that you're instantly an advocate for it and you're instantly asked questions and you have to speak about it, you know? Is that something that you find?
Absolutely. You know, I have people asking me questions all the time, but it's all in the way that it's phrased, really. Although I'm one who doesn't mind either way, but it's often phrased as, oh, so what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me.
You're like, oh, shut up.
So I have legs missing and there's certain parts of my body that don't work as well as what they should. My brain's fine, everything else is fine. It's just the other, you know, component.
Yeah. This is something
the ideal that a disability is often seen as wrong within society still, there's a lot of work to be done. And also, you know, the presumptions when people do ask, I've often had, when was your accident? No, actually wasn't an accident. I was born with this. So those presumptions, I think they're disappearing with time, but yeah, there's still a lot of work to do. And again, there's the assumptions about, you know, a person's ability with a disability as well, still existing within society. And, you know, we are capable of anything.
You're on the Informer on... Sorry, no. Kiralee, you're on the Informer on Joy 94.9. We're talking to disabled members of our community. We wanted to have a frank and honest discussion about what it's like being disabled and queer. Our guests in the studio are Eamon Barbaresco and Grant John-Paul Maynard, and on the phone is Kiralee Haywood. Eamon, we were just talking about the natural fall into the role of advocacy. Is that something that you've found happened to you?
I actually wanted to do natural fall, so it wasn't...
You just jumped in.
I just jumped in.
Saw an opportunity.
I saw an opportunity and I grabbed it with both hands.
Yeah.
Living with a disability your whole life, you know, from birth, having, you know, a brain tumour at the age of 3 where you're almost, you know, less than 20% chance of survival, and it was inoperable. You know, after you overcome that, you can overcome anything.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I was in a bit of a lull in 2015, and I went, what am I going to do? I saw a mentor, and I started working on my advocacy journey. You know, I've got a story to share, so why not inspire others to get the most out of their life? So I'm using my disability to motivate others.
Well, Grant, let's talk about being queer and disabled. Is that within the queer community, there are different factions, right?
Yep.
And we all have our different tribe that we belong to, that we choose to belong to.
You have your letter.
Yeah, you have your letter.
And you're part of the acronym.
And then you have letters among the letters.
Yeah.
Sub-letters.
And then more letters.
Yeah. in terms of that, I guess what we were interested to know is, as disabled people, like as queer people, yes, you band together. As disabled people, do you get put together without you actually wanting that?
Or do you want it? Do you want to have that sense of community?
There a sense of community?
I'm starting to find that there is a sense of community in that area. It's not something that I sought out, but it is something that just seemed to develop over time. Similar to advocacy, I was just like, oh, there's plenty of advocates out there. I don't need to advocate kind of disabilities or my condition or things like that. But as it turns out, there's just this natural progression that seems to happen. But it is odd as well in that respect, because you don't expect it.
It kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kind of like us. I keep drawing parallels, and maybe it's the wrong thing to do, but just actually, you know, all of a sudden you're on an LGBTI radio station talking about marriage equality every day. You know, like things just happen. You start to care about the people around you and you start to embrace that as well.
Yeah, and be an active part of the community.
Well, let's throw a bit of a curveball in here and talk about, I don't know, something a little bit different. We thought we could talk about dating and how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Eamon, let's start with you. Let's get you to kick us off on this and tell us about that part of your life.
I have never dated a guy, so I've never been on a date, never, you know, I've wanted to. But if you're on the apps, I find apps are very shallow, because if you look at, you know, the gay male dating apps, Scruff, you know, I'm not going to name them. You look at them and all you see is torsos. You don't actually see anyone. So when you have someone like me that, you know, I've got a big head, you know, my body's a little bit not deformed, but, it's, you know, if I was a side-on photo, you can see my hunch on my back. So it's very much face value. Like, they judge you by your looks. They don't get to know you. So I find dating, for me personally, it's very challenging. I I don't go out a lot because of my condition. You know, I can't really see at night, you know, in dark places. No, I'm not talking about, you know, SOPVs, or I'm talking about, you know, bars and things like that. It's awkward because I can't get out there, you know, with my migraines. I also get, I can't stand loud music. So where do you go?
And Kiralee, what about for you?
Yeah, dating for me has often been difficult. Like Eamon, I've tried some of the dating apps too, like your Pink Sofa. I'm yet to try her.
Get on it.
And a couple of others. But recently, I suppose you could say recently, I had a relationship that did end, unfortunately. And that was with another person with a disability as well. And that was interesting, trying to balance that dynamic as well, because we both have disabilities and to a degree we both have mental illness as well, depression and numerous other things. So trying to balance those two dynamics was interesting, and also trying to combat societal attitudes as well, not only towards, you know, disability and sexuality and relationships, but also toward, you know, LGBTI. And that was often difficult, and I have a bit of a... I've got a thick leather on this frame of mine, and nothing really got to me that much. But I can recall, it was quite a while ago now, waiting with my then partner at the train station for a bus home, and, you know, we were showing each other affection, as you do, waiting for the bus. And I can remember, correctly, there was a woman and a child that was standing not too far away from us. And, you know, we were just doing our thing, you know, showing affection, having a chat. And suddenly we see this woman pulling her child away from her. Pulling her child away from us like we're trying to disturb the child, or, you know, they're going to catch the gay.
I don't know. I feel like we've all been in that position, yeah, at a bus stop at one point.
We all caught the gay. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You've passed it on in here. Yeah.
Even Darcy now.
Even me.
A really paranoid mindset of whether, you know, is the child being pulled away because it's two women with a disability, or are they being pulled away because it's two women showing affection toward one another? Having those conflicting and paranoid thoughts going through both of our heads at the time, that was, you know, one of the most intriguing forms of phobia I've experienced in a long time.
Right.
You know, during the Yes campaign, I'd cop tapes anyway, but that was by far, and just we cop similar as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, it's one of those things where a lot of progress is still being made, I suppose. But, I mean, we've talked about how things aren't the best, but, I mean, how would we like to see them change? Grant, what would you like to see change for the positive?
I think kind of expanding on the idea of advocacy, you mentioned the marriage equality vote earlier, and I think that was a great example of what can be achieved when a community actually bands together. And where I'd like to see things change is more people advocating for access and inclusion that don't necessarily have a disability. I'd like to see a community that is proactive, and they walk into their restaurant or they walk into their bar and they put their head down and go, all right, could someone get in here? Mm. And advocating for their own business for the betterment of the community rather than community members advocating for the benefit of community.
Eamon, what about you?
Just treat people with a disability as normal. Like, you know, we have a heart. You know, I wrote a blog early last year. You know, I have a heart, I have a soul, I have an awesome sense of humour. So treat me as you would treat your normal able-bodied person.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.